Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for joining the call. My name is Leslie Dach, and I'm the chair and founder of Protect Our Care and served as senior counselor to the Secretary of HHS during the Obama administration's last few years and as the department's global Ebola coordinator starting in 2014. Thanks again for joining the call today, and thanks to Senator Amy Klobuchar, former acting administrator of CMS Andy Slavitt, and Jim Williams from Public Policy Polling. After our speaker's remarks, we'll open the call to all of you for questions. Before turning the call over to our speakers, I just wanted to take a minute for some opening thoughts. We meet today when over 181,000 Americans have died from the coronavirus, including in my own family, where my sister's partner died from COVID-19 in early March. There are over 6.1 million reported cases, and while the U.S. has 4% of the world's population, we have 15% of the cases. There are 29 million Americans collecting some kind of unemployment benefits as of this week, and we meet when the Republican and Democratic conventions have both been seen and absorbed by the American public. A Republican convention where the pandemic was talked about in the past tense, and where the president continued to mislead the public and lie once again about his efforts to strip health care away from over 20 million Americans and gut protections for people with pre-existing conditions. All of this in the middle of a pandemic and through a lawsuit that will be argued before the Supreme Court 1 week after the election. This is a week where the president has politicized and undermined the FDA and put his personal politics ahead of the health and safety of the American people, and where every parent who has a child in school from pre-K to college goes to sleep at night worried and anxious, and where months have passed since the House passed the HEROES Act, in which McConnell refuses to bring it to the floor for a vote or even to negotiate in good faith. This is Donald Trump's America. And with that, let me turn the call over to Senator Amy Klobuchar, the senior U.S. Senator from Minnesota, a champion of healthcare, and a person who has seen firsthand over the last year as she's traveled this country how important the issue of healthcare is to Americans across all parties. Senator Klobuchar, thanks for joining us. The floor is yours.
Well, thank you so much, Leslie, for convening this call and for your good work. Both before and during this pandemic. And thank you, Andy Slavitt, my fellow Minnesotan, for what you've been doing to keep the public informed. I enjoyed being on your podcast recently. And then I know you're going to hear us from Jim as well. And I don't think it's surprising that people are scared and they have lost trust. And that is because they feel very unsafe right now. And Leslie, I'm so sorry about the death in your family. I think you've seen that everyone in America, this is personal. I had someone say to me the other day, this whole time feels so personal. This election feels so personal. Well, it is. In my case, my husband got really sick with the virus and was in the hospital for a week and had to have, you know, nurses hold up the phone because, of course, you can't visit. And got severe pneumonia, was on oxygen. My dad at age 92, who lives in an assisted living in an Alzheimer's unit, got it. And I literally stood outside of a glass window and talked to him for what I thought might be the last time. And he looked so small in that room, and our voices were broadcast over a cell phone, and he knew us, but he didn't really know what was going on. Everyone in America knows someone or has someone in their whole own family where that has happened or worse. And so that is why this is so personal to people right now. And what they need is honesty. They need facts based on science. And of course, they need testing. And for those that are on the front lines, access to protective equipment. And so I look at the immediate right now, and I see a few things. I see one, those facts. And when you're told by the President of the United States that we should slow down coronavirus testing, or, I mean, he talks about unproven things like drinking bleach. That's more than unproven. Instead of real solutions, that's exactly the opposite of what we need. And then I see people who right now need to figure out how their kids are going to learn. School districts, I was just in Greater Minnesota, struggling on trying to space kids out and still allowing them to learn and doing hybrid models, which is a smart thing to do. So they're trying to have some kids go back and some kids learn at home. All that is happening right now. And right in front of us, immediately in front of the U.S. Senate, is the HEROES Act. It's been sitting on Mitch McConnell's desk and passed the House more than 100 days ago. And we thought there was real negotiations going down, and Speaker Pelosi and Minority Leader Schumer were willing to go down halfway with the amount of money, and then they walked, the Republicans walked. And so, you know, we are going back the day after Labor Day, and I'm hoping that they get some reality pants on here and realize the Republicans what we are really facing in terms of our cities, in terms of the need for more testing, how other countries have fared when they've done more testing. So to me, that's the immediate. Regardless of the election, regardless of everything else, as Americans, we should be taking the right steps here to get our country back on track. But then we have the day after tomorrow. And the day after tomorrow is what Leslie referenced with the Affordable Care Act. This idea that they are actually trying to repeal it at a time of the worst public health crisis in our lifetimes and before. The fact that it would take away the protections against kicking people off their insurance for pre-existing conditions and take away this simple idea when so many kids especially are out of work that you would take away that protection where you can keep your kids on your insurance until they are 26 years old. And these, of course, are things that apply to everyone, not just the people that get actual policies under the Affordable Care Act. And so this, to me, I always think about the small town parade I was in Minnesota where a mom, when the repeal effort was at its height, before we had that famous vote where John McCain, my friend, who I miss so much, came in and bravely voted no. I was in a small town parade in Minnesota, and a woman had a stroller, and she had her little boy in there, and she points at him and says, "This is my son, and he has Down syndrome, and this is what a pre-existing condition looks like, and I will do anything to fight for his health care." That resonated. People understood that weird word, pre-existing condition, because it was personal. It meant something in their lives. And that's what's happening right now in America. So I wasn't surprised when I saw those poll results, because I guess I feel them out there every day. But to me, it's really it's a twofer. It's what we're doing right now, and then what kind of leadership we need to get through the day after tomorrow, because we all know that's going to come, but we want to make sure that people aren't kicked off their health care again simply because they have a pre-existing condition. So I'll turn it over to the guy who knows everything, Andy Slavitt, then we'll hear from everyone else. So thank you very much, Leslie.
Great, Senator. Thank you. And I know that you may have to leave us early to meet other obligations, but thank you very much and for all your work every day. As Amy said, let me turn this over to the former acting administrator of CMS, Andy Slavitt, one of the foremost experts on healthcare in America and one of the most trusted. I know firsthand that Andy did a tremendous job at CMS administrator, and was a great privilege to witness that every day. Andy, take it away.
Thank you, Leslie, and thanks, Amy. Senator Klobuchar, I definitely don't know everything, but there's a couple things that I do know right now, which is that this election is a job interview for who the American public wants to protect them and to defeat this global pandemic. What I can tell you is that leaders around the world, from Angela Merkel to Jacinda Ardern, Asia, Europe, Oceania, have found that this virus can be defeated with leadership, focus, energy, and competence. And that's the least we should expect in a country of our resources. And so I think Americans are going to have to decide whether or not the president, who is has both refused at the beginning to acknowledge the crisis, which allowed things to happen very, very quickly, to then the same president who at the end of April decided we must open up at all costs, despite the fact that nobody had followed the plan that his White House laid out, to a president who is just not leveled and told the truth to the public. And so the public feels unsafe, and they feel unled. And I think that's becoming very, very clear, and the Senator Klobuchar said, not at all a surprise. I find it ironic that the president chooses to talk to people about safety, and what he really is talking about is keeping us safe from one another. He's not focusing on keeping us safe from a global biological threat. He is trying to pit us against one another. What I do know also is that Joe Biden is someone who was built for this moment. I believe this because I served under him and experienced his leadership during both the Ebola crisis as well as on the Cancer Moonshot Task Force, which he chaired and which I was privileged enough to serve on. Joe committed that he would get things done, and he got things done. And I have never seen someone so serious, so focused, so steely-eyed, and yet so compassionate for what people are going through. And this combination of compassion and competence is, I think, the job qualifications that people are looking for during this interview process. When he added Kamala Harris to that mix, and what we saw was somebody who is focused on making sure that we are equitably caring for the people in this country, my shoulders dropped. I felt a sigh of relief that a team that is focused on this every day and will not rest until Americans are safe again will be on the job, and I think Americans are feeling the same thing. We are still in the middle of a potential for more uncontrolled spread. We have a president who has directed the CDC to reduce testing, which means that the invisible virus becomes even more invisible. And we have all kinds of interference with the scientists as opposed to respect for the scientists and including them at the table. So I think better days are ahead if Americans get out and do the work in the next several months to elect someone who they want to run this crisis. And I think we've got a very clear choice in front of us.
Thanks, Andy, and thanks for all that you're doing, too. I'd like to introduce Jim Phillips now from Public Policy Polling, who will describe the findings of their post-convention poll, looking at how voters see President Trump and Vice President Biden on the issue of healthcare and who they trust more to take the country forward on these issues. Jim?
Thank you, Leslie, and I appreciate everybody being on the call with us today. We did a national poll just a few days ago in the aftermath of the Democratic and the Republican national conventions, and we found that voters trust Joe Biden over Donald Trump on the issue of health care, the coronavirus, and they also reject efforts to overturn the Affordable Care Act. We found that voters trust Joe Biden more than Donald Trump on a whole series of important health care issues, including safeguarding Medicare, protecting people with pre-existing conditions, and holding drug and insurance companies accountable. Voters also said that they trust Vice President Biden more than President Trump on the coronavirus pandemic, including on safely reopening schools, on rebuilding the economy, and on developing an effective vaccine and administering the vaccine. We also asked about President Trump's lawsuit to strike down the Affordable Care Act in the middle of a pandemic. We found that that notion was also rejected by voters by a 22-point margin. Just 31% of voters nationwide agree with striking down the Affordable Care Act in the courts. A majority, 53%, disagree with striking down the Affordable Care Act. And by a 12-point margin, 52% to 40%, voters say that they trust Democrats in Congress more on health care than they do Republicans in Congress. I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the one-on-one, who do you trust more questions that we asked folks in this poll. We asked folks who they trust more to protect Medicare. 53% said Joe Biden, just 40% said Donald Trump. 52% said that they trust Biden more to protect health care for people with pre-existing conditions. Just 41% said that they trusted Trump more on that. 51% more said they trust Biden to have a plan to prevent future pandemics, compared to just 41% who say that they trust Trump more on that. Same margin on who do you trust more to keep Americans safe during this coronavirus pandemic, 51 to 40 for Biden. 51% said that they trust Joe Biden more to lead the government-wide effort to develop and approve an effective coronavirus vaccine. Just 42% said that they trusted Trump more. by a 50 to 41 margin, voters said they trust Biden more to make health care more affordable in general. And by another 10 point, 50% to 40% margin, voters said that they trust Biden more to have a plan to safely reopen schools compared to just 40% for Donald Trump. So across the board, looking at health care, looking at the coronavirus pandemic from a lot of different angles, voters in every case, in a majority, they trust Biden more than President Trump.
Thanks, Jim. You know, these findings are particularly important because, as both Senator Klobuchar and Andy Slavitt said, there is no more important issue to Americans today than the combined issues of healthcare and the coronavirus. There's nothing more personal to them and their families. It's affecting both their health and their financial well-being. And that's made healthcare, once again, the kitchen table issue in an election. This administration and their enablers in Congress are failing to do the single most important job people elect them to do, and that is to protect the American people. Healthcare is on the ballot this November, as it was in 2018. And the choice, according to voters, could not be clearer. So thanks again to all our speakers. Let's turn it over to questions. Whitney, will you let folks know how that's going to work?
If there are questions for any of our speakers at this time, please press *3 on your phone to enter our Q&A queue. Again, if you have a question for any of our speakers, please press *3 on your phone. And we'll give folks just a minute. All right, our first question is going to come from Ariel Cohen at Inside Health Policy. Give me one second here.
How could he do that?
All right. I'm sorry, Ariel. Can you just give us your question one more time?
Sorry, could you not hear me?
We can hear you now.
Okay, good. Thank you. Sorry. I wanted to ask about the vaccine development and voter trust. One of the points in the poll said 51% trust Biden to lead the government-wide effort to develop and approve an effective COVID vaccine, but 42% trust Trump. So I was hoping you all could speak a little bit to the dynamics and what goes into play there.
You know, it's Leslie, I'm happy to start and let others. I think the public has basically seen the president put his personal politics above the well-being of the American public, and they've seen him continually downplay the science and to refuse to listen to his experts. And they've seen that play out on testing. They've seen it play out on therapeutics. They've seen it play out repeatedly during this crisis. And so they've seen the behavior. They've seen what happened with the FDA and recently on plasma, where the FDA commissioner had to, in a sense, apologize and walk back his remarks. So, and the American people, you know, are paying a lot of attention to all this. And so they've seen a president who repeatedly has failed to earn their trust and has done just the opposite. And they see how he's already, in a sense, trying, you know, clearly trying to use the vaccine as his October surprise. And so I think all those things come together for people, and they just don't trust somebody with that track record and the way that they've put themselves above the interests of the American people. And it's particularly problematic in an area like vaccines where, you know, numbers of Americans are already skeptical of vaccines and of
the government's mandates or requests that they take them. So I don't, so that's, I think this is based on reality and on people's experience. Andy or Jim, you have other thoughts.
Leslie, yeah, I think your answer is exactly right. I think what's happening is two things, at least. One is that the president has lost all benefit of the doubt because he has not leveled with the public on the status of the virus throughout. They distrust particularly his recommendations for treatment or therapy. There is evidence that people can see of him meddling with the FDA that Leslie gave. And I think that's more than half of the equation is this all feels like he's taking their health as a political tool. I think the other half of the equation is Joe Biden. You know, I think he's a known quantity. He's trusted. He's got absolute maximum integrity. He has personal experience with healthcare, which makes him compassionate. He has led massive scientific effort in the cancer moonshot work. And I think people look at that and get a sense of comfort that someone who will bring both a competent understanding of science and a compassionate sense of what's right for the American people together.
Thanks, Andy. Whitney, any other questions?
Nope, that's the only question we had for today, so you can go ahead and close it out, Leslie.
Well, I appreciate everybody who joined. I appreciate our speakers, and I hope to talk to everyone again soon. Thanks, Andy. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you, folks.